Tonight we go back to the same chapter we were in this morning, and we're going to talk about the same person that we talked about this morning, the person of Abraham. And I'm going to repeat some of the things I said this morning by way of introduction to get to what I want to say tonight. You know, sometimes when people read the Old Testament and they read about men like Abraham, they think that God only has their stories in the Bible by way of history, so that we can, you know, have a reference point to look back to know how it all started. And sometimes when they think like that, when people think like that, they come to the conclusion that there's nothing that they can learn from these people's lives. They think there's nothing, no concepts, no precepts that they can glean from their stories, from the things that happened in their life. I would point out to you that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul calls the Bible, the whole Bible, the Word of Life. And because Genesis is part of that Bible, it is also the Word of Life. And there are many, many things that we can learn from men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the other patriarchs that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And so I hope that you don't think like that when you read about some of these men. I hope you understand that God has their stories in the Bible for a purpose, and every single one of them are profitable to us, and that we need to read them with the expectation that God has something for us, that if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible, He'll give us what we need. And so the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and all the other ones in the Old Testament are just as important, just as alive as the books in the New Testament. The other thing that I'd just like to say before I get started tonight is that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, talking about Jesus in the book of Hebrews. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since God doesn't change, the way He deals with people hasn't changed. He deals with us today in the same way that He dealt with Abraham and with Isaac and the others that are in the Old Testament. And so Abraham, as we talked about this morning, can teach us some wonderful lessons. He might be called a sample believer because, as we talked about this morning, he started out as a sinner. Just like all of us are sinners. He was a sinner. Sometimes we look back and said, oh no, Abraham was never a sinner. Well, yes, he was. He was brought up in a home that worshiped false God. He lived in a place that worshiped false God. He, in all probability, worshiped those gods himself before the God of glory, as we talked about this morning, appeared unto him. Until that God of glory made himself known unto Abraham and let Abraham know that God had chosen him just like he's chosen all of us. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And he has chosen everybody to go to heaven. The reason people don't go to heaven is because they don't choose God. But God has chosen everybody to go to heaven. And when Abraham, when the God of glory appeared unto Abraham, and Abraham saw him and compared him to all the dead gods that he was worshiping, Abraham made the decision, I want that God. I want Jehovah God to be my God. And when Abraham made that choice, God, as we talked about this morning, and I know I'm repeating myself, so please don't think I'm not aware of that. I know I am. But when Abraham made that choice, God said, okay, now I want you to separate from this place that worships false gods, these people that worship false gods, and I want you to go to a place where you can focus your attention on me. I want you to go to a place that I'll show you how to get there, and I'll tell you when you get there. I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but you just trust me. Pack up your belongings, pack up your family, move, and I'll tell you when you get there. And Abraham did that. Again, we talked about this morning, not in complete obedience, and I'll mention it again in just a second. But he left home, and he started a walk of faith. He started a walk with God. And again, we can take some things that happened in Abraham's life, that happened in his walk of faith, and apply them to our own lives, and I think will be an encouragement to us. And so tonight, I want to say three things about Abraham's faith. And again, my purpose is to be an encouragement to each of us as we take that same walk of faith. The first thing I would point out to you tonight is that Abraham's faith was a developed faith. It was a faith that grew over time. Abraham just didn't wake up one day and have all the faith that God wanted him to have. He just did not, when he chose the God of glory, when the God of glory revealed himself unto Abraham and Abraham chose him, Abraham did not have all the faith that he would eventually have. He did not have all the faith that God wanted him to have. You remember, we mentioned it this morning. God told Abraham, pick up. Move, leave your family, leave your home, and go to this place that I'll tell you where you are when you get there. And Abraham sort of did that. He didn't leave his family because his dad went with him, his nephew went with him, and he didn't go to the place that God wanted him to go. He did not go to the land of Canaan. He stopped in that place called Haran. And for 5 years, he had lived in a place that was between home and where God wanted him to be. He did not complete the journey. He did not separate himself from his family. His dad dies. He finally makes the rest of the journey and gets to the land of Canaan. And again, God is testing him. God is giving him some trials to go through so that his faith will grow. And famine comes into the land. And God wanted him to trust him. God wanted him to stay where he had brought him to and just trust God and see that God would provide even in a famine. You know, God's provision is not related to what's going on in the world. I mean, there could be famine and God can still supply. I mean, when it hadn't rained, God took Elijah beside a brook, and he brought meat and bread by the raven, and Elijah drank out of the brook. And when the brook dried up, he sent him to a widow that just had a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal and a barrel. And I don't know how long, but I think for a long time, with just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, God was able to feed that widow and her son and the prophet. So God is not limited by circumstances. He is not limited by what's going on in the world. He has the provision to meet our every need. But Abraham didn't know that yet. And so when famine came, he left the land of Canaan and went to Egypt. Now, God had made him a promise. Your descendants are going to be like the stars. They're going to be like the grains of sand in the desert. If you can number them, then you can number your descendants. Abraham was getting old, like we talked about this morning. God just wanted him to wait. God has perfect timing. God knows what he's doing. I mean, Abraham and Sarah were getting old. And you remember the stories when God came to Abraham and said, hey, you and Sarah are going to have a little baby. You remember what he did? He laughed. He just laughed. I don't think he said it, but he thought it. He said, we're too old. That can't happen. It's impossible. We're too old. You remember when God and the angels came on their way to Sodom. They were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they stopped and had lunch or dinner with Abraham. And Sarah was in the tent. And God made the statement again. And Sarah was in the tent. She laughed. She said, I'm too old to have a baby. How can we have a baby? How can God be talking about this? And you know, Isaac, that name means laughter. I mean, it was God that got the last laugh. Amen? I mean, they said, no, we're too old. No, you're not. Not when God's involved in it. Listen, I don't care how old you are, the birth of every little child, the conception of every little child is a work of God. If he's not involved, it won't happen. And so, again, God was giving Abraham an opportunity for his faith to grow. He wanted Abraham to just trust him. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'm still in charge. Well, they didn't trust him. They brought Hagar into the picture, and he had a little baby by Hagar. But God was using all these tests, all these times of opportunity where Abraham could trust God so that his faith would grow. And through those tests, Abraham's faith did grow. And now we see him, as we talked about this morning, out up on Mount Moriah. His son Isaac is tied up, laying on an altar. He's got the knife raised in the air, in faith, ready to take the life of this promised son. And he said, even though I kill him, my God, if he wants to, can raise him up. That kind of faith didn't exist back in Ur of the Chaldees. It didn't exist at the time of famine. It didn't exist before Isaac was born. That kind of faith grew over time as God tested him. Now, that's the way, if you go back and you read the stories of people that are in the Bible, that's what happens in every case. People don't just wake up one day and are 100% faithful, that believe God can keep every promise. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. It happens a little bit at a time as God proves his faithfulness over and over and over and over. And even though people pass through a great trial of faith, they may fail the next one. I mean, the Israelites came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was behind them, mountains on either side. And God told Moses, have them go forward. And I'm sure they thought, what do you mean go forward? There's a big body of water in front of us. And God told Moses, raise up your rod and I'll divide the Red Sea and they'll walk over on dry ground. And I can just see the people as they did that. As God split the Red Sea and there a wall of water on each side. I can just see them just walking through the Red Sea, looking at this water on every side. Now, I tell you what, you got to have a lot of faith to do that. How do you know it's going to hold? How do you know God's going to let you make it all the way across? They had faith in God that he was going to keep his promise and get them across the Red Sea. But a few months later, when he said, okay, we're about to go into the land of promise. We're about to go into that place that I've prepared for you. And remember, they sent out the spies, and they spent 40 days in the land of Canaan, and they came back, 12 spies, and they came back. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, okay, let's go. God's going to give it to us. He's going to keep his promise. And the other 10 said, oh, no. The people are there are giants. Their cities are walled. They have armies. There is no, I mean, compared to them, we look like little grasshoppers. There's no way we can take this land. Here was a people that walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then a few months later said, well, God can't do this. God can't do it. You see, even though when we walk through a great battle of faith and win, it doesn't mean that the next one that comes up, we're going to win that one too. I mean, here was David, his slingshot, put 5 stones in his pocket. Remember, Saul tried to dress him in his armor, and David said, I can't go, I haven't proved this. And the Bible says he stopped and picked up 5 stones. People often ask me, why did he pick up 5 stones? Goliath had 4 brothers, thought he was going to have to fight them all. But he picked up 5 stones. He put 1 stone in that sling and slung it. Hit Goliath right between the eyes. Knocked him down. Then went and took his sword and cut off his head. A mighty test of faith that David went through and saw that God was faithful. And yet, when Saul came after him, what did he do? He started running. started running. He said, God can't take care of me. The king's trying to kill me. I got to go on the lam. I got to start running. You see, when these guys won a great battle of faith, sometimes they lost the next one. Elijah was upon Mount Carmel. 400 prophets of Baal. They had a contest. Call down fire from heaven. And the God that sends fire, he's the God we're going to worship. These 400 prophets of Baal prayed and nothing happened. Elijah, he went over and built an altar, laid the sacrifice on it, took 12 barrels, said, dig a pit about it, around it. Let's get 12 barrels of water and let's pour it. Let's just water soak this sacrifice. And he prayed and his God sent fire from heaven. The next day, Queen Jezebel says, and by the way, he killed all the prophets of Baal. Remember that? The next day, Jezebel sent word to him, I'm going to get you. He took off. Here was a guy that called fire down from heaven, had enough faith in God to pray and ask him to send fire from heaven. And here's this wicked queen, said, I'm going to get you. And he takes off. He takes off. Peter, that night on the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus comes walking to him on the water, said, hey, if it's really you, let me come to you. Jesus said, come on. And Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water. Can you imagine that? I just think about it. Walking on water. What a man of faith. A few minutes later, he sees the storm and the wind. He takes his eyes off Jesus, loses his faith, and begins to sink. Now, here's my point tonight. We don't get saved and wake up the next day and say, I've got all the faith that I need. God has given me all the faith that he wants me to have. I don't need to anymore because I have arrived. I've got what I need. No. No. You're just starting. Just starting. Every single one of us are on a journey. It started when we asked Jesus to be our Savior. God gave us enough faith. The Bible says that he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Enough faith to trust Christ as our Savior. After that, our faith grows a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And we can have great victories in our life where we trust God and believe that he's going to keep every promise and come through a battle or a time of trial and come out of that trusting God. And then tomorrow, we fail. And we don't have enough faith. And we don't trust God. And tonight, what I want to tell you, don't get discouraged. I mean, it happened to Abraham. It happened to Elijah. I mean, it happened to the saints in the New Testament. So don't get discouraged. You're on a journey. It's not going to come all at once. God is going to put us through trial after test, after a situation after situation, so that our faith has an opportunity to grow. Look, none of us would expect, I don't expect Aaron to act like an adult. He's not even 3 years old yet. I don't even expect Jameson to act like an adult. And he's 10, right? 8, sorry. I don't want to make you older than you are. He's 8 years old. But there's still some things they need to learn. And there are still some things that all of us as Christians need to learn. And so, if you're in a situation where you haven't believed God, don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't say, I'm a failure. You're not a failure. You're just learning. We're on this journey of faith. And God is putting us in situations so that he can give us more and more and more and more. So it's a developing faith. I got to hurry. I got 3 points tonight, and I only got 10 minutes left. All right, number two. It's a demanding faith. A demanding faith. God's tests are not easy. It wasn't easy for Abraham to leave home. It wasn't easy for him to have a son at 100. It wasn't easy for him to take that son and offer him up as a sacrifice. God's tests often are not easy. They are demanding tests. They are tests that, again, are given to us so that our faith increases. If you talk to anybody that lifts weights and is a bodybuilder, you do not build your muscles by lifting light weights. You do not build your muscles by lifting weights that you can lift. You build your muscles by progressively adding weights to the bar and lifting a little bit more each day. And so God's faith is a demanding faith. The tests get harder and harder. Look, it wasn't easy for Noah to have enough faith to spend over 100 years building an ark. Did you ever stop and think about the faith of Noah? God said, hey, I'm going to destroy the world in a flood. I want you to get ready and build a boat. 100 years. Oh, the years were different back then. No, they weren't. I mean, has the sun and moon and earth changed in its rotation and in its spin? No, it's the same as it was back in Noah's day. It was 100 years like we count years. Can you imagine depending and believing God for 100 years with no visible sign that it was going to happen? I think many of us after 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years and say, I'm wasting my time. I've often wondered, did God tell Noah when the flood was going to come? I don't know. I don't know if he knew how much time he had. But he worked on that boat for 100 years. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for the Israelites to walk through the Red Sea. It wasn't easy for Peter to step out of the boat. And it will not, listen, sometimes the tests that God puts us through are not easy. They test the very fiber of our faith. I mean, they reach down to the bottom of the reservoir of our faith, and in order to make it through, we got to take it all. We got to lift it all. And sometimes it appears that our reservoir of faith is empty, and we still got to trust God. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been there. God's put you in the test where it has taken every bit of faith that you had up to that point to keep trusting him. But again, that's the only way faith grows. I mean, if you only had to go through the test that you've gone before and God's proven himself in that test, then you won't know that he can do more. The tests have to keep getting harder. The tests have to keep getting more difficult. The weights have to keep getting heavier. That's the only way that our faith grows. It's a demanding faith. And by the way, I would remind you, God never gives us more than we can handle. He knows our limit. He knows how much that we can take. And the hotter the fire, the more pure the gold. The hotter the fire, the more pure whatever metal you're trying to refine. The hotter the fire, the purer it is. So it's a demanding faith. And then number three, it's a rewarded faith. A rewarded faith. A faith that God will honor. He did Abraham's. I mean, God kept his promise to Abraham. His descendants are like the stars in the sand. He kept his promise. He kept his promise to Israel. It took him 40 years to get through the wilderness, but he brought them to the land of Canaan, and he took them in, and he defeated when they trusted him and obeyed him, they defeated every enemy and took the land. and took the land. David, he became the king. He sat on the throne. Elijah got to go to heaven in a fiery chariot. Wouldn't that be a good way to go to heaven? Forget about death. Forget about the rapture. Just send that chariot down here. His faith was rewarded. Peter, he got to preach on Pentecost and see 3,000 souls saved. It's a rewarded faith. And ours will be rewarded too. Now again, as I mentioned this morning, God wants to get us to that point where we are willing to take the dearest thing that we have and say, God, if you want it, it's yours. I'm going to hold nothing back. That's where Abraham was when he was on Mount Moriah. Again, it wasn't at the beginning of his journey of faith. It was at the end when God had proven himself over and over and over and over and over. You know what? One of these days, our faith is going to be rewarded. We're going to get to go to heaven. I've never seen heaven. Never seen it. I can't prove to you that it exists. I can't. Can't. But one of these days, I have faith that it exists. And one of these days, my faith and your faith, if you know Jesus as your Savior, is going to be rewarded because we'll walk through that gate of pearl. We'll walk on that street of gold. We'll see our Savior face to face. And we will live there forever. What are we saying tonight? Never more to roam. One day our faith will be rewarded. And so, again, I preach this message tonight as an encouragement. You're on a journey. Sometimes it's going to get hard. The tests are going to be hard. And you're going to have to reach down to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, and get every bit of faith that you have just to make it through. But know that when you do that, God's getting ready to give you some more. Because that's how you get more. You trust him. And trust him. And trust him. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. When the tests get hard, just trust God. What did it say about Abraham? He staggered not at the promises of God, but believed that he would keep every one of them. And he will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Abraham, a man just like all of us, a person just like all of us. And what a great man of faith. And I pray, Father, that we would have the faith of our father, the faith of Abraham, that it would grow through the tough trials. And Father, I know that one day it'll be rewarded. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never started that journey of faith, they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray, Father, you'd help them understand that they're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from you. But that you loved us when we were sinners, sent Jesus to die in our place. And if we'd come and ask you, you'd save us. So I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's never made that decision, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would woo them to the Savior. You've given enough faith to believe that and ask Jesus to save them. And so I pray they would tonight. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Again, Father, help our faith to grow. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.